Morning. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning, and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. There's a song that I first heard back when I was a wee young little lad, about 18, not too long ago. I first heard it from the Imperials, which was a early Southern gospel group that I had a record. I wish I could find it again. But it goes, and it's been sung by a lot of different groups now, but the prophet Daniel tells about three men who walked with God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before the wicked king they stood. The king commanded them bound and thrown into the fiery furnace that day. The fire was so hot that the men were slain and sent them on their way. When the king rose up to witness their fate, he began to tremble at what he saw, and in astonished tones he said, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Lo, I see four men, unhurt and bound, walking down there. And the form of the fourth man that I see is like the Son of God. Today I would like to explore some scriptures in the early parts of the Bible in the Old Testament. A lot of my lessons are going to be out of the Old Testament this morning. And see how we have a God who is willing to provide if we go where he guides. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went where they thought was right. They stood up to the ruler and said, "We're not going to do what you're telling us to do. And if it be that we die, we die." But they stuck with God, and God provided an escape for them. The fourth man in the fire. When Daniel was in the lion's den, God sent the angels to shut the mouths of the lions so they'd not be hurt. God guided them in their journeys. God expected them to do what they did, but they did what they did because they believed in the true God, and God did not let them down. Where God guides, the label I put on my lesson this morning was, where God guides, God will provide. Where God guides, God will provide. Exodus chapter 13, starting at 17th verse. Exodus 13, starting at 17th verse. This isn't the entire story, but it's part of the story. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Tongue ain't working this morning. God, I'm not reading that one scripture, by the way. That God led them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry him up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. I don't know the amount that was involved, but I'm guessing it was several million people probably fled out of Egypt by Moses. I can't lead a bus full of kids to the zoo. I don't know how Moses led a million people through the wilderness. But you know what? He did it. But he did it with the help of God. Where God guides, God will provide. There were no gas stations to stop at, so the women could say, wouldn't you just stop and ask directions? There weren't no gas stations. That was the old argument back in the day before cell phones came along. Why don't you just stop and ask directions? There were no maps to buy. They couldn't stop at the store and buy a map. Okay, this is where we're going. There were no Google Maps. Where would we be without Google Maps right now? I wouldn't get to have my job sites out of town without them. How did they know which way to go? Well, we know in verses 21 and 22, it said God went before them as a cloud during the day and as a pillar of fire at night. Where God guides, God will provide. God was taking them out of Egypt, a land of bondage, to a better place, and he was guiding them the whole way. Where God leads, God will provide. Exodus chapter 14, starting in the 13th verse. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. They had wandered for a while, and they came straight up to the Red Sea. The Egyptians behind them, the Red Sea ahead of them. They didn't care about the cloud by day and the fire by night. But all they saw was the Egyptians behind them, water in front of them. What are we going to do? And they started giving Moses a hard time. You brought us out here to die. We could have died back there. We could have stayed alive back there. And that has happened many times. We could have stayed alive in Egypt and had plenty of food to enjoy and all this. They forgot what it was really like for them there. But they were seeing water here and the Egyptians there. Once again, they forgot where God guides, he will provide. How did he provide for them? He parted the waters of the sea with Moses' help. Well, Moses parted the waters with God's help. No, it wasn't Moses' help. It was God's help. They parted the waters. I was at the Omaha Zoo last week, and it always intrigues me when you walk through their shark enclosure, because you walk through a tunnel and you look up and there's sharks above you. There's water above you. And you're standing there waiting for that water to... I know there's going to be a leak in one of them seams. Because you touch them seams and they're just like silicone. I mean, they're rubber. It's all holding that glass together. Okay, I'm just sitting there. Let's get out of here real quick, because I know one of these windows is going to start leaking. And that shark's going to come down there, and he's going to be able to walk on land and eat me up. You know, I think I can outrun a shark that's on land. I'm not sure. But you get scared. How many of the children of Israel do you think, were scared walking across? The bravest person there, and I don't think it was Moses, but the bravest person there was the first person who puts foot on the what used to be water. The first person. And then the rest of them started following him down. But as they're walking through... I've seen pictures where it's one side water and one side not. I think it's both sides water, and it's 15, 20 feet high. And here they are, little puny six-footers walking through this, looking up there, and the fish are swimming right up the end of it and looking at them and all this. You know, wondering, when's this water going to give way? What's holding this water up? Well, the power of God was holding that water up. And I thought about that because there are times in my life when I'm walking in that water, or I'm walking in the parted waters. God has parted the waters for me. He's made a way for me to go. But yet I get in the middle of that and I think, well, I'm a little scared here. I don't know if I can handle this. I think something's going to happen. So I stop, or I turn around. I shudder to think what would happen if those children of Israel had stopped halfway through that water. Stopped, because the Egyptians were coming up behind them, and God said, you'll never see them again. I'd hate to think that God would have had to let that water come down on top of the children of Israel because they failed to understand what the power of God was. But yet they saw, because they got through safely. The last person took his foot and what stepped on dry ground, and next thing you know, they look back, and that water's coming back down on them, all 20 feet or whatever each side. And it completely destroyed the army of the Egyptians. So where God guides, God will provide. But you know what? How many times after that did they give grief to God and give grief to Moses and give grief to Aaron? Because they forgot, oh wait, God's guiding us. He will provide for us. That's what got Moses in trouble with the water. Do we have to bring you water to drink? Because the children of Israel were getting thirsty. They were getting hungry. God had to bring them manna. God is always providing for them, but they forgot it. And I think on a daily basis, I forget that God provides for me. God guided me. I'm almost convinced that God, well, Lisa brought me to Iowa, but I think God probably guided me to come to Iowa because I was a wreck out in Indiana. I wasn't doing much with myself. I hate to think where I might be right now if I'd have been in Indiana still. Pretty sure I'd still be in the church, but I might not be as strong as I was then. Or I am now. But I think God guided me to Iowa. But he guided me through Marvin and Lisa. When Marvin walked up to me that day and said, listen, keep doing what you're doing, you can get my daughter. So I had to decide, now 35 years later, I'm questioning my, no, I'm not really. No, without that, you're not having my daughter, you can't have my daughter if you couldn't keep, I'm not going to willingly give her if you don't quit doing what you're doing. So I moved to Iowa. And so God provided for me out here. I didn't know a soul out here in Iowa when I moved out here. But now I know more people here than I do out in Indiana. So God provided a way for me. But yet I forget that sometimes. And I long for my old Indiana home. But I only long for my Indiana home because I have some friends left out there. And I miss them. But yet I think if I went out there for very long, I'd miss the people back here too. You know, I come home every night and I look at my camper sitting in the driveway. And I look at the kids or my wife and say, you know, I'd just almost like get in that camper and just take off for a while. You know, just be gone, not have to worry about it. But that's not what God wants. God wants me to be strong. God wants me to take what he's provided me with and work with it. You know, if I walked home and all them tires were flat on the camper, I'd quit thinking I could go somewhere. But so don't go flattening my tires or anything. But, you know, God's provided a way for me, and it's here. But yet that doesn't mean I don't miss certain things. I miss some things from Indiana. I miss some things from here. There are things I've done that out there and people that I know that, you know, they were fun things. Not the things I did that were against God, but other things that I did, which is why I go back every May. Because one of the funnest memories of Indiana to me is the racetrack. You know, you guys go, seriously, you're going to sit there and watch cars go in circles for 6 hours or 8 hours? Sure. Sure, my wife will sit there and watch Perry Mason for 4 hours a night. Drives me nuts. But then she'll look at me and say, well, yeah, but you can sit and watch race cars go in circles for 6 hours. Yeah, but I've never seen Perry Mason run into a brick wall at 210 mile an hour. Okay, sorry, I got off course there. But God provided a way for me. I think God made the way to Iowa for me because he knew where I was headed, and that's not where he wanted me to be. But he provided for me once I got out here. Now, I had to learn once I got out here, but I learned because God had a way for me. God had an angel, and that angel probably got tired wings right now, watching out for me. How many times in the scriptures do we see God sent his angels to shut the mouths of the lions? It wasn't an angel, it was Christ that was down there with the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we all have angels looking out after us. And I don't profess to know anything about angels, but I know God's got angels looking out for me. Because I've done some stupid things in my life that I got to wonder why I didn't pay a price that I should have paid. None of them with my life, obviously, but maybe some other ways I would have paid dearly. So I think God has it for me. But I need to keep looking for that cloud in the daytime that God's leading me. I need to look for that pillar of fire at night of God leading me where I need to be. And I need to realize that, yes, there are going to be times when God parts the waters and I need to walk through the Red Sea. But if I do that, I need to realize that it's God making that power for me to be able to do that. I can pass through. You know, my job has a lot to do with being guided someplace. But I could be guided all over the state of Iowa working on equipment. But if I'm not provided with the proper equipment to do that with, I'm just a trunk slammer, what they call them. I drive a van that has probably $10,000 worth of parts in it because we believe in first-time fixes. We don't want to have to make a second trip back. We have factories that push us on first-time fixes. If we don't fix something the first time, that's a check mark against Goodwin Tucker. And at the end of the year, they can say, well, this company's got a lot better first-time fix rate than you guys do. We're going to go with that company. So they need to guide. They're guiding me to do my job, but they need to provide me with that. I have, I'm guessing, over $5,000 worth of my personal tools in that van. I'm not bragging. I just do because I know what I have to get my job done. When I'm guided to a job site, I need to be able to provide that customer with the value that they're paying for. They expect to have their equipment up and running. They expect to have me do the professional job that they're paying me to do, because that's what they're expecting. Well, God equips me with everything I need in order to proclaim Him as my Lord and Savior and my God. He gives me His Word. He gives me examples in the Scriptures. He gives me examples every day of things I can do. I'm thoroughly convinced I would not be where I am today in my career had it not been for Rex Phillips. Now, he's not here anymore. It's a sad situation. But Rex is no longer with us. But Rex took me and said, come on over. Come on over to Goodwin Tucker and try it. And 26 years later, I'm still doing it. Now people are looking to me and saying, I want to come work for you. Bruce is working with me now. I'm hoping that maybe this week Trent will get hired on. You know, three Fiorentines in the same company. I'm not sure that's a... No, I'm just joking. One Fiorentine not you bad enough sometime. But I think God saw a need. And maybe he sent Rex to fill that need. Doug needs to find a good job. And I found a good job. And 26 years later, I'm the guy that people call now when they have questions. Because I have been provided with that opportunity. But how many times do I look at God and say, thank you, God, for that opportunity you gave me? I don't. I think it's all Doug doing it. It isn't all Doug doing it. It's the power of Doug. It's the power of God with Doug help, with Doug following God's guidance. Genesis chapter 22. Familiar stories all these are. We can quote them without even having to read them. And obviously I can't read very well this morning, so maybe I should just do that. But 22 verses 1 through 13. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Oh, to be so willing to tell God, here I am. Challenge me, test me. He had no idea what was coming up. If he had, he probably would have said, I'm out mowing the grass, I'll get with you later. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, my God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And then we know the rest of the story. Abraham gets to the point where he's ready to drop that knife through his son and offer him. And God provided a lamb for a burnt offering. But how hard would that have been for Abraham? How hard would that be for you? Some days, I could take my three kids out the door, and mom wouldn't let me do it. That's why I don't think Abraham took his wife with him, because, he'd have been hounded for 3 days. What are we doing? And then when he got up to the top of the mountain, that's why he wouldn't have took her to the top of the mountain. But there are days when your kids can get on your nerves. Yeah, you would never, ever, ever think about sacrificing your child. But Abraham was told to sacrifice the only thing he had waited all his life for, a son. And he was willing to do it to that point. But what did he tell his son? God will provide a lamb. I still think in the back of Abraham's mind, he knew this was a test. And he knew God was going to provide. But he needed Abraham to prove that. Where God guides, God will provide. I'd hate to think, and I don't want to add to the scripture thing, but what would happen if Abraham would have stopped 2 days into the journey and said, ain't going to do it. It's not worth it. You wonder if God would have struck him dead right then and there. I don't know. I'm not speculating. But where God guides, he provides. And Abraham knew, just as he had waited all them years for a child, God provided that child. Now he knew God would provide him a way to keep that child. When God guides, he will provide. When God sent Moses to Egypt to confront Pharaoh, what did he do? Moses came up with question after question, and I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not fluent enough. I'm not smart enough. I ain't got a Harvard education. He finally got to the point where God said, fine, I'll send Aaron with you. He sent Aaron with him to help him. God provided. God wanted Moses to go back and deliver his children. God knew Moses had the fire that he could do it, but yet God had to provide Moses with some help, some strength. Does God expect me to go out into the world on my own? I don't think so. God provides people to help me get through my daily struggles, my daily walks. Now, you guys aren't in my van with me all the time, but there are radio stations I can listen to. You know, I have 5 dials preset on my radio. 2 of them are for religious stations. It aggravates me that there ain't a third one there for gospel music, Southern gospel, but I can't find one yet. But there are 2 stations, nothing but gospel, preaching and teaching and some singing, some song leading and stuff, or singing. The other ones are questionable. Problem is, sometimes I get to the point where I reach over and I hit that third button. And there's a show, I like the rock and roll of 95.4 or 94.9, but there's also a show called Bob and Tom in the mornings till 9 o'clock. Sometimes I get, and they're rather disgusting sometimes. And there are times I reach over and I hit that third button because I want to laugh. Well, why am I doing that? I'm doing that because I'm Doug and I'm human. I forget that I have God as my pilot, and I shouldn't be doing that. So I go back to one of them other channels. I forget who I am. I'm Doug the Christian. Sometimes I want to be Doug the humorist, Doug the guy that gets to laugh once in a while. Well, God never said I couldn't laugh. In fact, God gave us a sense of humor. Just look at me. You look at me, you're going to laugh a lot. But what do I do to get that laugh? Where God guides, God will provide. God provided me radio stations I could listen to. And I thoroughly am convinced that if I needed enough help and I was somewhere, I could call about anybody sitting in this building and they would come talk to me. They would come help me. I text Steve every once in a while I'm driving. Not supposed to do that, but sometimes I just got to talk to somebody. And Lisa's busy at work and that kind of stuff, so I'll text Steve real quick and see if he responds back. Because he just knows I'm in contact with somebody that has the same beliefs that I have, that can understand where I'm at and can help me out a little bit. So he sent Aaron with him. He sent somebody with us if we want it. I have great respect for anybody that can go out and approach somebody on the street or approach somebody at their house and start talking the scripture to them, because I ain't that way. I'm not that way. I'd have to have somebody go with me to do it, but I have a great appreciation for those that can. No matter what we face or have to deal with, be it anything in our lives, God will provide a way for us to get through it. If we have sickness, if we have trials, if we have temptations, if we have sorrow, if we have God with us, we will always be in the majority. I think I've lived a pretty nice life. Pretty comfortable life. We built our house 24-ish years ago, something like that. Okay, well, during the year of the flood, 93, I think it's 93 of the flood. And when we built that house, we built it thinking that we might have to take our in-laws in. Well, guess what? Our in-laws are living with us now. But it isn't all a piece of cake all the time. It's a struggle. If you think raising kids is fun, I'm not saying it's hard, but there's an extra level of work when you take on some other people and they have health issues that you have to deal with all the time. There's been a lot of sleepless nights, but yet I'm still able to get up and go to work. I'm still able to communicate. I'm still able to do things. God is giving me strength to get through. God's given me the family that we have that can come over and help us when we need it. But God will never let me down as long as I keep thinking of Him. I appreciate people that say I go to God in prayer. I wish I could do that more often. I'm just not the kind of guy that's prone to go to prayer. I'm more prone to just sit there and, in all honesty, I can think about God, but I can relax and chill if I'm watching an 8-hour race. So I'm going to turn my TV on, I'm going to watch How It's Made, or I'm going to, too much to my wife's chagrin, I'm going to watch How It's Made, or I'm going to watch air disasters, something to calm me. How do you calm down watching airplanes crash? But I do. Sorry, Nathan, but how do you calm down watching airplanes land? I'll tell you, recently when I go to bed at night, and Lisa will attest to this, I shut the TV off. And I have a new radio I bought at the junk shop, or thrift shop down in Pella. And it's a radio with two speakers. It's on our headboard. And I put in some CDs. I've got Acapella Ridge in there right now. I'll hit that button. There's like 25 songs on it. I'll get about 8 songs into that thing, and I'm asleep. But it just calms me and relaxes me. So I'm getting more focused on maybe I need to get more God in my life, and it'll help me relax. Because I'll wake up in the morning, it'll say there's that thing ran for hour and 10 minutes. And I know I wasn't awake that whole hour and 10 minutes. I haven't heard some of the songs. I'll be listening. Never heard that song on that CD before. It's because I don't make it to the end of that CD. If I had a TV on, I'd be sitting watching the TV. I think God is helping me relax through those songs and through that. Just remember, you're always in the majority with God. You plus God makes a majority. That's what we need, the majority with God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We have weapons we know of in the Scriptures, our suit of armor that we can wear, and they're made mighty through the power of God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because the Word of God is sharp, quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is quick and powerful. There's nothing better than the Word of God. I need to study it, I need to learn it, and I need to live it. I've got the reading part down, not so much the studying yet. I'm still working on the living it, and I think I'll be working on the living it until the day I die. But I'm getting stronger. I'm getting more involved. Don't ask me to quote a scripture, because there's some of them I can't, but there's some I do know. But I work them over in my head, and I hear things on the radio, and I think, I understand that now. I understand what they're saying. And I start thinking about it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A little kid gets scared. What's he going to do? He's going to look for his daddy and his mommy. He's a very present help in trouble. Last week we were at the pool in Omaha. And I tried to get him to do it. I wanted to jump off the side of the pool and have Trent grab me, but he wouldn't do it. But they were teaching Eva how to do that. You know, she's in the water bouncing around having fun. All of a sudden they set her up on the ledge and they say, jump. Well, she's never jumped before, but she sees Daddy standing down there, and she jumps. Well, two things got to happen. Dad's got to be ready for her to jump, and she's got to be willing to jump. Because if she jumps and Daddy ain't there, she's going down and then back up. Gonna scare the living day. She'll never do it again. But I think sometimes God wants us to jump, and He says, "I'm there to catch you." We need to be willing to jump. We need to be Peter, willing to jump. Peter, right? Walk on the water. We need to be Peter, willing to walk on the water, jump out of the boat. You know, there's gonna be a bunch of people in that boat saying, "Dude, seriously, you ain't never seen nobody walk on water before. What are you doing?" We need to be willing to step out of that boat. Peter was fine till he realized the current, the elements around him. And that's what gets me in trouble. I forget that God is right there and Jesus is right there with his hand. There's a song I heard on the radio yesterday. I'm going to look it up again. It was on the top 20 countdown for Southern Gospel, but talking about the hem of his garment, of Christ's garment. And I'm laying on the ground and I look in my hand and there's a string. And that string is attached to the hem of the garment on Christ. And all I need to do is look up, and he's right there ready to help me up. But he'll never, as long as I have a hold of that hem of his garment. You know, we talk about that lady that touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. You know, all I got to do is keep a hold of the hem of Christ's garment, and I'll realize I've always got something to fall back on. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In today's vernacular, you'd say God has our back. God's got my back. He's willing to help me. All I got to do is ask for the help. He's got my back. You know, we have a phrase at work, or they use it out here, to throw you under the bus. God will never throw me under the bus unless I throw him under first. God is not the kind of person who can throw me under the bus. He's with me all the time. All I have to do is realize that I have to reach out and put my hand out to him, and he'll be there for me. He's guiding me along in my life, but he's also providing me a way of escape. He's providing me a way to get through what I'm going through. Okay, I'm getting there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that not what we're looking for? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever? We are in the house of the Lord right now. We are worshiping with Him. We are serving Him. He's restoring my soul. I should walk out of here restored. I've been battered this week. Maybe you've been battered this week. You've been beat down. You've had a rough time. Things haven't gone your way. You've just thought about, well, it ain't worth it. I'm getting my camper and leaving. They'll find me some other day. No, I have Him restoring my soul. He's leading me in the paths of righteousness. Not for my sake, for His. He needs me to come to Him, but I need to come to Him more so. And He's ready for me. So goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sometimes you're looking out wondering where that surely goodness and mercy are, but it's there. Trouble is we've turned away from it more than he's turned away. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The question is, you have to ask yourself on a daily basis, where will I go this week? That's the wrong question to ask. The question you need to ask is, where will God and I go this week? Because without God, I'm a sinking ship. Without God, I'm Peter walking on the water and I'm about to drown. So where will I and God go this week? Because with God, I will get through the week. With God, I will overcome the temptations and the struggles. With God's help, I'll be here next Sunday, ready to worship with all of you again, to restore my soul once again. Because there's 6 days between now and then. I should look forward to that. As we close this morning, we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we walking with God? Or are we walking with ourselves? And ponder those thoughts. Ponder what we've heard this morning and apply them to ourselves. And if we have any need to bring for the congregation, do that as we stand and sing the closing song.